if it was a 3-year deal and you it was $23 million, not 25, not 27, not 28, anything like that. It was 23. And you're the New York Mets, how is he not returned as a New York Met? Because, again, the thought process was with the Mets, if things were equal, he would come back as a Met. Now, we don't know the fallout of what the Mets offered him, but they were definitely in on him, and they went and got Devin Williams just as protection in case this happened. But, you know, looking at it just from the Mets side of things, I'm stunned that it was a 3-year deal and the Mets didn't get him. That's number one. And the Dodgers, they didn't have to go much more than what he was getting paid. He walked away from two at 22. That's what he opted out of. He got an extra year and a little bit more per year. That's all the Dodgers had to do to get the best closer in the sport. Like, that's impressive for
Maybe
me.
Maybe he wants to play for the Dodgers. I mean, they're the team
well
that keeps winning
be.
Championships, right?
Listen, so. If you can't beat him, you join him, right?
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Tuesday, December the 9th, 2025. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at Talking Mets, no G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com, no G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com, and come join me on the new and improved TalkingMetsPodcast.com. Join us in the chat. Get updates on the show. Subscribe to premium content. It's all there. TalkingMetsPodcast.com. And I want to thank the good folks from the Believe Network for supporting this show. Well, coming to you with the first breaking news here this late Tuesday night. The news came down, I would say around 11 a.m. this morning. Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers, and I was around and about. I was out and about all day. I had a late dinner tonight, and I was planning on coming to you, but I really wanted to marinate on this news, because to say that today is shocking, what I read, I'll tell you how it went down. So I'm driving, and you always want to be safe, but I have my phone up on the on the handheld thing, on the hands-free, and I see, the good old Mets fix, breaking news, and I see the name Edwin Diaz. I'm like, this is it. It's the cellophane on the winter meetings is finally being cracked. Edwin Diaz is coming back, and I see Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers and Kyle Schwarber to the Phillies. Now, I'm not surprised about Schwarber to the Phillies. Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers. I mean, I'm lucky I was, stopped in traffic, because I was not too far from Yankee Stadium, believe it or not. The irony of the whole thing, right? And I'm stopped, and I'm like, and my heart dropped. And obviously, I didn't know any details, and details hadn't come out yet. But as the day is going on, and I'm reading how the contract for the Dodgers is only 3 years, and how the Mets were a couple of million behind, and how Diaz didn't give the Mets an opportunity to even come back and match or exceed, and it sounded like the Mets were willing to go higher. And now reports come out later tonight, and I'm glad that's why I'm coming to you later, because I really thought stuff would come out, and I think more will come out over the coming days, how Diaz was annoyed about the Devin Williams signing, and he wasn't made aware. And there's no way to mince any words here with this. This is a horrible day in Mets history, and this is the worst day. And I know DeGrom signed with Texas, and that was a blow. DeGrom was a great Met. Mets went to the World Series with DeGrom, arguably outside of maybe Gooden and Seaver, the best pitcher over a period in Mets history. And I don't think that's lionizing the situation. But I think because Verlander came a few days later, it was mitigated a little bit. And that's part of the problem. You don't want to do something like that. I think that's, it's like when you get angry or you miss something, you want to just fix it right away. It's almost like methadone here, for lack of a better word. But this is the worst day in the Steve Cohen ownership. This whole situation, because I think that it's not understated, and I know that I saw the emails, and I'm not going to get into any mailbag right now. Edwin Diaz is a ninth inning pitcher. He only pitches 60-something innings. He only pitches 4 or 5% of the innings of the season. You look at what this guy has meant to this team. Let's just say from 2022 on, he is the complete fabric of this team. No matter what the game was about, once it got to the ninth inning, and look, there was a lot of things that could happen between innings 1 and 8, but once it got to the ninth inning since 2022 with Edwin Diaz, you felt supremely confident that that game was in the bag. And even when he got in trouble, because of the stuff, the nasty slider, the fastball that even when it wasn't 101 in miles an hour anymore, it was, you know, it seemed like it was almost unhittable. I mean, I think back to earlier this year when Diaz had gotten off to a rough start. It seemed like the spring trainings the last couple of years, and especially in 2024, how he got off to a rough start, how he came in and he struck out Aaron Judge in that big Saturday afternoon Subway Series game. And I almost felt like Diaz was back and the Mets season was back on track at that point. And really, that was Diaz. And when you look at, he's going to end up, assuming he never comes back in a Mets uniform down the road, number one in strikeout and strikeout percentage, number one in FIP, number two in batting average against for as a reliever, number two with leaving runners on base, number three in saves, number three in strikeouts, number six in ERA. And if he had come back for the rest of his contract or had signed a 3 or 4 year deal, he probably would have shattered most of those records. And I think even now, this is the best reliever in the history of the Mets that you just saw walk out the door. And I know it's a reliever, and I know that relievers are replaceable. And this is not the first star to leave a team. I mean, Pedro left the Red Sox after a championship. Mark Messier left the Rangers. Patrick Ewing left the Knicks. Shaq was traded from the Lakers. So this happens. I mean, this is not, I mean, I'm not putting Diaz up with those guys, but in context, when you're feeling crappy here, these kind of things happen. But I think from a standpoint of the ninth inning, and I know Devin Williams, and right now, today's a day that you're not going to want to hear about statistics. And quite honestly, this is the kind of show that normally I would have notes, and I don't take a lot of notes, but I put a stream of thought so I stay on track. And I said, this is a show that I just need to kind of talk to the fans about just raw feelings and emotions, because this is more than Diaz. I think this is almost like Samson getting his hair cut from a Steve Cohen and Mets spending perspective. Because when Steve Cohen walked through the door, you never thought money was ever going to be a problem, or that the Mets, if they wanted a player, would be outbid. Now, yeah, they lost out on Yamamoto, and Ohtani didn't want to come here. And even George Springer spurned the Mets, if you want to really think back. But when you really thought about it, when somebody wanted to be here, DeGrom didn't want to be here. When they wanted somebody, whether it be Scherzer, whether it be Verlander, whether it be Soto last year. And then you think about Diaz, who signed, didn't even hit free agency the last time he could, and signed here, and seemed like he loved the place. And you got to admire the fact that this is a guy that came here under a controversial cloud, St. Jared Kelnick, the Cano hate, the Brody Van Wagenen hate, the media hate, the fans. Unfortunately, he was doomed from the start. He had to be perfect because fans were always, especially since what happened in the World Series and Familia melting down and the history of brutal losses in the eighth and ninth inning, that a lot of Mets closers, Benitez was, even though it was decade plus before, Mets fans still remember that Paul O'Neill at bat in the 2000 World Series. Diaz was coming here with a history of failure, whether you want to call it the curse of Randy Myers, you want to call it, whatever. Diaz was coming here under that cloud, and he had a horrible 2019, and I have never seen a player do a complete 180 and not only go to the other extreme, become a fan favorite and the fabric and the culture of the team, to where there's the marketing aspect where this is a popular player, where you were selling the trumpets. You had a concert for this guy not too long ago with the actual, narco playing the trumpets on his way out, that game against the Dodgers. All the things that this guy has meant for the fans and for the marketing of the Mets and the fabric of the team. The fact that he walked away for a 3-year contract for $69 million to the Dodgers, the Mets weren't even given an opportunity to match. I mean, that to me is a solar plex hit. From what I understand, the Mets are even shocked. Now, some people are speculating that ultimately this is not a big deal in David Stearns' world because now he could reallocate the funds. That's a very pragmatic, analytical way of looking at it. But tonight, whether that's true or not, and whether the Mets come June, it's Diaz is a distant memory, because being in LA, you're only going to see him 6 times a year. He's going to be on late at night. For the most part, you're never going to pay attention to him if you don't want to. He's not in your division. He might be a distant memory, but you don't want to hear about that tonight, because now you're starting to wonder the one advantage, which was money, which was culture in terms of the Mets providing a family-oriented, great environment for the players that was hard to match. For the first time, you have to question that. Now, this is a little bit different because it's the Dodgers. And I think there's part of me, and I've warned everybody about this, and we've talked about this, and if you've been listening to the show a long time, you know we've talked about this, that when a team gets into the pantheon that the Dodgers are, and they've worked hard to get there, they've been good for a long time, but they've finally taken that next jump to dynasty, back-to-back titles. You want to count the dopey 2021 one, that's 3 titles in 5 years. Everybody who's a good player wants to play for them. And then everybody else, especially those within their division, are pretty much playing for second place. Now, you don't feel like that in the moment. You always think you could beat the team that's ahead of you. Look, as a Knicks fan, I always felt they could beat the Bulls, and they probably should have a couple of times, but Jordan always found a way. And I'm sure teams like the Dallas Mavericks or the Phoenix Suns, or, you know, when the Celtics, I mean, the only team that really could beat the Lakers was the Celtics back in the 80s. And the Lakers did a lot more than the Celtics in the 80s. You always think in that moment you could beat them, but in the end, they were tough. I mean, there's always the talk about how Pat Riley would get players coming up to him on the sideline saying, you got to get me over there. I can't beat you. I want to win. I don't want to finish second all the time. And then you think of the Yankee dynasty and how the Yankees took that. And every free agent, it seemed like, from 1999 onward, just it was fait accompli. Jason Giambi, A-Rod going there. Over and over, and it ended eventually, but it took a long time, and it's frustrating because you feel like Charlie Brown with the football. You feel like you could never win. You're always playing for the second best free agent. You're always playing for second best, and the fear you have is that with the Mets being in the National League, no matter what they do, they're up against the juggernaut, and you got Diaz now in the 9th inning. You saw the starting pitching this team has. It's a tough team to beat. Even if they half want it throughout the regular season, in a short series, it's a tough team to beat. And in a lot of ways, it looks like you want to put the hurt feelings about Devin Williams. You want to put about the Mets' negotiating strategy, which I'll bring up in a minute. The guy went ring shopping. The guy did say at one point he wants to win a ring. He'd like to be with the Mets. He'd like the best deal, but he wants a ring. Well, it looks like he got both. He didn't even give them. Once he got the deal from the Dodgers and he felt the Mets weren't going to go and blow him away, which sounded like it had to be a 5-year deal. It looks like the Mets had to overpay to keep their own free agent. That's the championship advantage. I mean, these players are not stupid. They're looking at what the Dodgers did. They play against them. They're a traveling rock band. They're in their prime. Look, it's not going to last forever. Freddie Freeman's not a young player. Mookie Betts is not a young player. Otani's is not old, but he's not young. He's got years left, but, you know, this will end. It's not going to 10-year run, but for the next 3 years or so, and who knows what's coming up in the pipeline, they're tough. And I'll tell you what, don't be surprised that team like the Mets, not that they're not rebuilding, I'm not saying that, but they may be taking a look at this and saying, look, for us to go all in on every big name free agent, win the offseason, to play against these guys where best case scenario, we're going to lose by something, whether it's in 5 games, 6 games, whatever, 7 games, we're going to lose. Maybe this gives the Mets and Stearns finally the runway which is probably something he's wanted to do since he came here, but really couldn't because he had the bones of a 100-win team where he could finally say, look, Nimmo's gone, Diaz spurned me, with Schwarber getting a 5-year, $150 million deal, I don't see how Pete Alonso doesn't say, hey, there's no excuse for me not to be in that ballpark. And I believe the Orioles even went that high before he re-signed with the Phillies. So, and the Orioles met with Pete. So if that kind of offer's out there, this Mets stance on 3 years ain't going to fly. This might be the impetus for Stearns to say, hey, it's time for me to put my team out there. And that's going to get ugly with the fans. Now, is that going to be the right move in the long run? You start building the foundation. They got all these top prospects. They've got Soto still very smack in his prime, his early prime. I mean, Lindor's in his late prime, but not showing signs of decline. You still could compete, but you could compete while you build your own team and start to move out the Billy Epler, early Cohen, late Wilpon years. Because when you talk about the opportunity of changing the face of the, or the culture of the clubhouse, Nimmo's gone, Pete may be gone, Diaz is gone, very well McNeil could be out the door. I mean, how many players are left? I mean, you've got Lindor, who really came on in Cohen's first full year, and it's not like you're just going to walk away from Lindor, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Soto's a recent signee. The kids, you really can't attach them to prior regimes, even though they were drafted before Stearns even came on board, but they're young and developing. You can't just get rid and purge everybody. You know, David Peterson's on the block. You really are looking at a situation where maybe now Diaz opened the door for the Mets and Stearns to really say, hey, I'm going to just go all out on this. The Band-Aid's been ripped off. The fans are hurt. It ain't gonna signing Pete is gonna help, and I still question how they could look you in the face and say they're gonna compete and there's an outstanding offseason in front of them when one of the better right-handed hitters in baseball may be out the door as well. You're gonna tell me you're gonna lose a really strong offensive player in Nimmo, an elite closer, the best in the league arguably, and one of the top 3 to 5 right-handed power hitters, and a power hitter that, by the way, doesn't grow on trees. And if he leaves, even he's the Mets' all-time career home run leader, it'll be a long time before you see that kind of power again. They don't grow on trees. Yeah, you'll get guys who hit 25 home runs, Mark Vientos, whatever he does. But what Pete Alonso has achieved from day one in this organization, it does not grow on trees. What Diaz achieved, what he did, the stuff he has, the comfort he gave you in the 9th inning, I have never felt that as a Mets fan in a Mets uniform. I'm not saying he's Mariano, but I'll tell you what, he's about as close as the Mets have had to that, especially the last 3 to 4 years. And even when he went through his struggles, he wasn't bad in 21. I mean, he had his blips. This is a dark day in Mets history. Diaz meant a lot, and he symbolized a lot. And right now, I don't think it's lionizing by saying it. You just ripped the big heart of the old Mets, or the identity of the Mets, out of them. And I think Devin Williams is a fine closer, but you just put a whole bullseye on his back. Here's a guy that, since Pete Alonso took him over the fence, ripped the heart out of the whole city. Went to New York and had an uneven year. Yankee fans could not wait to send him packing. Not one Yankees fan that I know is complaining about him leaving. You now have handed him the closer's job when it would have been so much easier to have him just set up the ultimate closer, have a super pen. Now, you could have a good pen. You could build a good pen. Maybe you bring back Tyler Rogers. You have Devin Williams as the closer. Statistically, I've talked about it. He's right up there with Diaz and Clase and Hader statistically over the last 3 or 4 years. You have Minter, you have Rayleigh, you go out. You'll find a decent enough bullpen. But the lockdown bullpen that we were expecting, that even Devin Williams himself was expecting, didn't even make it to Christmas with that idea. So this is a tough one. And I have to say, and I said this on the winter meetings prep show, and I said this. And as I'm talking here, by the way, I'm trying to like keep an eye on the news and whatnot. I said this, you know, this morning when I was checking in and kind of giving you my thoughts on some early winter meetings chatter. I think they're approaching the off season with, hey, Pete, come call me, man. You know what we're about. You know what we're willing to do. You think you get a better deal from Baltimore or Boston? Go ahead and go pitch your wares. Here's the thing. Forget about Devin Williams and Diaz's hurt feelings. If it's true, he was sold by the Dodgers. He went and met with them, and he said, this is a pretty good deal. Why am I waiting for the Mets? Same thing could happen for Pete. If you really want your free agents, and I know they did it with Nimmo, and Nimmo came back. He met with the Giants. He met with the Yankees. Aaron Judge did it when he went and flirted with the Giants and the Padres or whoever else he met with when he was a free agent with the when the Yankees were courting him. And I'm not trying to compare Judge and Judge potentially leaving the Yankees to Diaz. I'm just saying when a homegrown popular player that you want, whether it be Aaron Judge, Pete, Diaz, whatever, goes and flirts with somebody else, you never know what they come away with. Remember, it's sales at that point. And there's always that emotion and loyalty and that pull. But players are human beings, and you get all caught up. LA's an incredible place to get caught up. Great history, great weather, Latin community, great infrastructure, stars up and down. It's like joining Standard Oil back in the day. It's being the house. Who wouldn't want to be the cool kid? Playing for the Mets is hard. And I'm sure this wasn't an easy decision. And you know what? You want to bring up the fact that he's pissed off about Devin Williams coming on board. He wasn't consulted. All due respect, Edwin. You were a free agent. You're not even on the roster. What did you want the Mets to do? Devin Williams had his own decision to make. Now, when it comes to negotiating with their popular players, is Stearns treating them differently than any other free agent? And is he putting the value equation on them and holding firm? It's also on Cohen because Cohen's empowering him. Yeah, and is that going to make for some hurt feelings? Remember with players. With players, it's always about business when it's in their favor, but it's personal when it's not. And the only reason Pete Alonso came back is because he had a dry market. And it was almost like he had to force his way back. And the fans had to force the two sides to get to the table last year at the amazing day or whatever that was. And I think that the Mets, if they are indeed shocked and upset that Diaz left, because we really don't know. This is a lock-solid, lock-tight organization. Stearns gives you information, but he gives you very little emotion. He gives you a pathway. But even when he said, we want Pete, we want Diaz, it wasn't like, hey, we want them at all costs or, you know, all hands on deck. It was like, yeah, we want them, but we're also looking around and seeing what other pathways there are. Maybe the Mets have to realize that that's not going to work when you're dealing with homegrown, popular players. Think about you at your job. If you contributed a lot, you were a high profile, high contributor to your organization, and your boss pulled you in, and when you're either a free agent or you're looking for a raise or you're looking for some kind of perks, like, well, you did this, that's great, this is your value, and go see what the other competitors offer you, and when you come back, if it's something that we're willing to match, we'll talk. Give us the right of first refusal. And maybe you'll do that because you're comfortable, and who the hell wants to uproot their life after building roots, but at some point you might walk out and say, screw that. You clearly don't want me. They want me. The grass is sometimes always greener on the other side. So, you know, the Mets got to do some evaluation on that. And at this point, I don't even know what to tell you what direction they're going to go. I do know this, and I keep saying this, and everybody continues to poo-poo it or say impossible. It's a smokescreen. They continue to tell you they want to look at or use their young players. You keep hearing Beatty at third base, and they have these prospects and the kid pitchers. I think they're damn serious about going pretty damn young with this club. And I'm not so sure they're going to go and sign any big-time multi-year contract free agents. Are they going to do the Luis Severino, Sean Manaea 2024 plan? I'm not saying that. But I think there's a possibility that they are not as aggressive at the top end of the market as we thought they would be. Because at this point, Schwarber's off the board. Diaz is off the board. I mean, if you weren't going to give Diaz more than more than 3 years, I mean, why would you go crazy with more for Suarez? Why would you go crazy with Fairbanks? And look, if you bring in a Pete Fairbanks or a Suarez, I'm not crazy about either one of those with Devin Williams. It's not horrible. I think if you go uber aggressive with those contracts with those guys in the same pantheon as Diaz, I think you're wasting your money. You only do that for Diaz. I'm not so sure that Bellinger is an option. I don't know what the hell's going on with Alex Bregman. There's no connection to them with Alex Bregman. I'm not confident in Pete at this point, especially after the Schwarber deal with the Phillies and how the Orioles went and were in that, supposedly, in that stratosphere of the 5-150. Because why wouldn't they just swing over and do that with Pete? And I know the Mets aren't, I mean, it's pretty clear the Mets aren't going to do that. Are things going to change now that this Diaz situation happened? I don't think so. I think you need to be really prepared that Stearns is about to do what nobody thought he had the cojones to do, really put his own stamp on this team. And his Q rating is going to suck with the fans. Ticket sales are going to be hurt. He's pretty much putting his job on the line. Not that he's going to get fired this year, but if this goes bad, I mean, the calls for him now are loud. They're going to get even louder. The media is going to have their knives out. You're going to have a similar situation to what Brody Van Wagenen was facing. I mean, there is no honeymoon anymore. And I don't even know if Cohen gets the benefit of the doubt after this. Now, there's nothing they could do. He owns the team. But with the casino situation, you know the correlation. Correlation and causation don't always match. But you know how the fans and the media are. Right away, he's focused on the casino. He doesn't care about the team anymore. He wants to build his palace around the stadium. That was always part of this deal, man. He loved the team and the team is fun. And I even said, be careful. The joy of losing money and going to the front row and signing free agents and showering yourself with champagne, that's intoxicating, but that gets old too. Especially when you're losing, if it's reportedly it's right, $200 million a year. And then you got this dynasty that doesn't look like it's ending in at least the next 3 to 4 years, like, well, 2 to 3 years. You're like, I'm going to sign Framber Valdez. Why? So I could win 92 games and lose, get an extra week of playoffs. What if I did it my way, maybe still get the extra week of playoffs, and in the long run be better in 28, 29, 30? I'm not saying I like this because I don't. It's not the way I think they should go. I think the fans deserve better after years and years of financial dysfunction and disappointment and lying and all the other stuff that happened, post-Madoff-Wilpons. But when you brought this guy on, you knew part of this was eventually going to be, because for years, analytically young GMs wanting to get in here and tear this thing down to the studs. And Cohen, just they didn't have the ability to do that. Now, you don't have to do that now, but you could do kind of a slide-down reboot. You had the OMG fun season. You let that group get another shot at it. It didn't work. Now, Diaz spurned you. Now you have every right to just go the next mile. Why half you-know-what blanket? Why even, you know, if you're not interested in Pete, in 3 years is what it's all about. You're basically telling me you're not interested in Pete anymore. You're interested in something else. Now, is that Cody Bellinger? Is that Alex Bregman? Is that a big deal? I also don't think, and I don't think Stearns is going to do this. You can't just go out and make a move to shut the fans up and the media up. That's kind of what they did with Verlander. Not really, because Verlander still was coming off a hell of a good season. He was an older pitcher. You figured you could get a couple of years out of him while you were trying to build up the farm system. DeGrom didn't want to be here, but it turned out they were lucky. They actually got a prospect out of it, a couple of prospects. Clifford might be the gem there. That could have been a disaster. They were lucky they got out from under some of the extra money that could have been they'd been on the hook for. So it's going to be fascinating to see where this goes. But make no mistake about it, there's nothing I could say today to make you feel better. This is a bad day in Mets history. This is a player that I liked. This is a player I'm going to miss. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying Devin Williams is a bad closer. And he could be, statistically, because if you go to FanGraphs or you go to Baseball Reference and you put them side by side, they're virtually statistically similar. But I'm telling you, I watch Diaz every day. I haven't watched Williams every day. Maybe I'm biased because it's time with the Yankees and I saw him melt down against the Mets in the playoffs. Diaz is an elite swing and miss guy. I think he'll be that for the next 3 years. Maybe not years 4 and 5. That was always a concern. And yeah, there's some wear and tear on the body that you wonder, when is that ticking time bomb going to go off? That's part of signing big pitchers to long-term contracts. But nobody ever closed games like this guy in team history. Not Jesse Orosco, not Randy Myers, not Billy Wagner, Hall of Famer. Maybe Benitez had a couple of moments where he was close, but never like Diaz. And if you tell me, and look, I wasn't around. I didn't watch Tug McGraw, and I know he had some moments, but you're going to tell me the Tug McGraw is in the same category as Edwin Diaz? Frankie Rodriguez? Even Familia. And Familia was really good for a 2-year, 3-year period. Got the Mets to a World Series, but he was not dominant like Diaz. Diaz, if you told me in Mets history, pick one closer. You're putting an all-time Mets team. Pick one closer to close games. It's this guy. It's this guy. And did he? You know, there was always in the back of my head, he would have it, would lose his command. Would this be the day that he hangs the slider and he gives up a 3-run homer, walks a couple of players? I mean, I remember just watching that save against the Phillies when they clinched the division series. I was, you know, had visions of someone jacking a home run off of him and breaking the Mets' hearts, but he figured it out. He always seemed to, even when he got into the sauce, he was able to, his stuff was so good, he could figure it out. I just don't know if Devin Williams is going to be able to do that. Pete Fairbanks is not going to do that. Robert Suarez, I damn well don't think could do that. AJ Minter, Brooks Raley. I mean, the Mets just let as automatic of a ninth inning guy walk out the door as they're probably ever going to get in their history. Really. I mean, this is, they're losing one of the, probably arguably the best closer. You want to say before he got into the trouble with the gambling, Clase? Yeah. But Clase also showed you in the playoffs against the Yankees that he may not be as great as he, I mean, this guy made it happen. This guy went through the gauntlet and came out the other end better. Who else in New York could say the same thing? Yeah, Beltran had his moments, but this guy was ready to be run out of town, traded. This was guy was Ed Whitson level bad his first year. He cost the Mets single-handedly, and this is not overstating it. Just look at the numbers. He cost the Mets 90 wins and a postseason spot in 2019. That's how bad he was. And he did that on the heels of a trade that the fans didn't want, a prospect that they thought was going to be Mickey Mantle, a player from the Yankees that they didn't want. I mean, they had everything going against them, but he stuck it out, and he went through the gauntlet, and he worked at it, and he got better. Is he leaving because of Devin Williams? Is he leaving because of Jeremy Hefner getting fired? Is he leaving because the Mets didn't show him enough love? I don't know. I do know he left, and I do know he went to the team that's collecting stars and now is trying to get another starter in Skubal. They're going to go, listen, I don't blame them. When you are in the position they're in, you go for the jugular, and you try to build the perfect team, and you go for 2, 3, 4 championships. They're now the modern-day Yankees. They're everything that the Yankees were in the late 90s, and I'll tell you the truth, they're better. Because I don't think the Yankees, talent-wise, they had a good collection of players that were gamers and veterans that knew their role and were able, and they were very fortunate to win 4 out of 5 years. They shouldn't have won in 96. They were on the hook in 98. Cleveland let them off the hook. 99, they made it through the playoffs, and they should have been ousted in 2000, even before they made it to the Mets, and they shouldn't have got out of the first round in 2001, but they found ways to win. But a lot of times, the competition let them off the hook. The Dodgers are just good. You want to say the Blue Jays maybe let the Dodgers off the hook? And they were a fingernail away from winning? Sure. But the Dodgers are good. So that's my reaction to the Edwin Diaz news. What's going to come next? Look, I'm just like you. I'm going to sit back and watch now. I'm out of the game of predicting because I thought that Diaz was for sure. I didn't know about Pete, but Diaz was not one I thought would leave because I didn't think anybody would overpay him, and I certainly wouldn't think that he would leave voluntarily because he didn't want to be here. So now I got to sit back, and I think the only thing I could say, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting, and it's going to be and David Stearns has put his chips to the center of the table, and he's going to make this his team, and he's going to go down doing it his way. You might as well call him Frankie Sinatra at this point. I'm serious, and I don't think he gives a you know what about what I think, the fans think, the media thinks, WFAN thinks. It's going to be interesting. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday night edition, special edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Of course, you can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at Talking Mets, no G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com, no G, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com, and come check me out at the new and improved talkingmetspodcast.com. Join us in the chat. It's all free. Premium content for less than a cup of coffee a month, updates on the show, interactions with me, all at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. And of course, I want to thank the good folks at the Believe Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Stay tuned. Who knows what more news we'll be able to talk about this week? Till next time, take care, everybody.
For the pop.